So your friends are radio show hosts, huh? Well, the first rule of thumb for all radio personalities is to look absolutely nothing like how they sound. So once they got the voice appearance mismatch working, then it all just depends on what kind of radio station they work for. Listen and loin as I run my test sentence through the various genres.
Strongbad's test sentence is, the fish was delish, and it made quite a dish.
First up is public radio. Smooth and smarmy.
Today on Capitol Hill, the fish was delish, and according to UN Secretary Council members, it made quite a dish. You're listening to member-supported public radio.
Dang old public radio. I never got my tote bag.
Next up is the Drive Time Morning Show. Oh, these guys are like bad stand-up comics that you can't heckle. Or jekyll. Rise and shine, people! The fish was delish.
Right, yeah.
Wait for it, wait for it. And it made quite a dish.
All right, Squawk Box, shut it up about the fish already.
I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles. Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station.
That was The Fish Was Delish, and we heard track 6, It Made Quite a Dish. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on.
College radio can pretty much be summed up in 5 words. Dead air. Dead air.
Okay, I am out of here for today, but first up is an hour of chanting.
Is this working? Hello? Is this working? Hello?
Just in case your friend...
Hello, chat. What? Well, he said quietly, that's that. She's probably stuffing herself down in an incinerator right now, he smiled. Yeah, I think that's the last we'll be hearing from Lucy. I slumped on the bed. His performance had given me a bad jolt. For a moment, I thought his mind had snapped, that he actually believed he'd be attacked by invisible enemies. But the room was quiet again. He was back in the chair watching Mission Impossible and fumbling idly with the hash pipe. It was empty. Where's the opium? I tossed him the kit bag. Be careful. There's not much left. As your attorney, he said, I advise you not to worry. He nodded toward the bathroom. Take a hit out of that little brown bottle in my shaving kit. What is it? Adrenochrome, he said. Won't need much, just a little tiny taste. I got the bottle and dipped the head of a paper match into it. That's about right, he said. That stuff makes pure mescaline seem like ginger beer. You'll go completely crazy if you take too much. I licked the end of the match. Where'd you get this? I asked. You can't buy it. Never mind, he said. It's absolutely pure. I shook my head sadly. Jesus, what kind of monster client have you picked up this time? There's only one source of this stuff, he nodded. The adrenaline glands from a living human body, I said. It's no good if you get it out of a corpse. I know. But the guy didn't have any cash. He's one of those Satanism freaks. He offered me human blood. Said it would make me higher than I'd ever been in my life. He laughed. I thought he was kidding. So I told him, just as soon have an ounce or so of pure adrenochrome. Or maybe just a fresh adrenaline gland to chew on. I could really feel the stuff working on me now. The first wave was like a combination of mescaline and methamphetamine. Maybe I could take a swim, I thought. Yeah, my attorney was saying, they nailed this guy for child molesting. But he swears he didn't do it. But why should I with children? They're too small. Christ, what could I say? Even a goddamn werewolf is entitled to legal counsel. And I don't dare turn the creep down. He might have picked up a letter opener and gone after my pineal gland. Why not, I said. He could probably get Melvin Belli for that. My body felt like it had been wired into a 220 socket. We should get us some of that stuff. Just eat a bigger handful and see what happens. Some of what? Extract of pineal. He stared at me. Sure, he said. That's a good idea. One whiff of that shit would turn you into something out of a goddamn medical encyclopedia. Man, your head would swell up like a watermelon. You'd probably gain 100 pounds in 2 hours. Claws, bleeding warts, then you'd notice about 6 huge hairy tits swelling up on your back. He shook his head emphatically. Man, I'll try just about anything, but I'd never in hell touch a pineal gland. Last Christmas, somebody gave me a whole Jimson weed. The root must have weighed about 2 pounds, enough for a year. But I ate the whole goddamn thing in about 20 minutes. I was leaning toward him, following his words intently. The slightest hesitation made me want to grab him by the throat and force him to talk faster. Right, I said eagerly. Jimson weed, what happened? Luckily, I vomited most of it right back up, he said. But even so, I went blind for about 3 days. Christ, I couldn't even walk. My whole body turned into wax. I was such a mess, they had to haul me back to the ranch house in a wheelbarrow. They said I was trying to talk, but I sounded like a raccoon. I could feel my eyeball swelling. Fantastic, I said, but I could barely hear him. I was so wired that my hands were clawing uncomfortably at the bedspread, jerking it out right up from under me while he talked. My heels were dug into the mattress, with both knees locked. I could feel my eyeball swelling, about to pop out of the sockets. Finish the f***ing story, I snarled. What happened? What about the goddamn glands? He backed away, keeping an eye on me as he edged across the room. Maybe you need another drink, he said nervously. Jesus, that stuff got right on top of you, didn't it? I tried to smile. Well, nothing worse. This is worse. It was hard to move my jaws. My tongue felt like burning magnesium. No, nothing to worry about, I said. Maybe if you could just shove me into the pool or something. God damn it, he said, you took too much. You're about to explode. Jesus, look at your face. I couldn't move. Total paralysis now. Every muscle in my body was contracted. I couldn't even move my eyeballs, much less turn my head or talk. It won't last long, he said. The first rush is the worst. Just ride the bastard out. If I put you in the pool right now, you'd sink like a goddamn stone. Death. I was sure of it. Not even my lungs seemed to be functioning. I needed artificial respiration, but I couldn't open my mouth to say so. I was gonna die, just sitting there on the bed, unable to move. Well, at least there's no pain. Probably I'll black out in a few seconds, and after that it won't matter. My attorney had gone back to watching television. The news was on again. Nixon's face filled the screen, but his speech was hopelessly garbled. The only word I could make out of it was sacrifice, over and over again. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I could hear myself breathing heavily. My attorney seemed to notice. Just stay relaxed, he said over his shoulder. Don't try to fight it, or you'll start getting brain bubbles, strokes, aneurysms. You'll just wither up and die. His hand snaked out to change channels. It was after midnight when I was finally able to talk and move around, but I was still not free of the drug. The voltage had merely been cranked from 220 to 110. I was an animal, pouring sweat and unable to concentrate on any one thought for more than 3 or 4 seconds at a time. My attorney put down the phone after making several calls. There's only one place where we can get fresh salmon, he said, and it's closed on Sunday. Of course, I snapped. These goddamn Jesus freaks are multiplying like rats! He eyed me curiously. What about the process, I said. Don't they have a place here? Maybe a delicatessen or something? With a few tables in back? They have a fantastic menu in London. I ate there once. Incredible food. Get a grip on yourself, he said. You don't even want to mention the process in this town. You're right, I said. Call Inspector Bloor. He knows about food. I think he has a list. Better to call room service, he said. We can get the Crab Louie and a quart of Christian Brothers Muscatel for about $20. No, I said. We must get out of this place. I need air. Let's drive up to Reno and get a big tuna fish salad. Hell, it won't take long. Only about 400 miles. No traffic. Out there on the desert. Come on. Forget it, he said. That's Army territory. Bomb test. Nerve gas. We'll never know. We wound up at a place called the Big Flip about halfway downtown. It had a New York steak for $1.98. My attorney ordered the Coyote Bush Bass for $2.09. And after that, we drank a pot of watery Golden West coffee and watched four boozed-up cowboys kick a faggot half to death between the pinball machines. The action never stops in this town, said my attorney. A man with the right contracts could probably pick up all the fresh adrenochrome he wanted if he hung around here for a while. I agreed, but I wasn't quite up to it. Right then, I hadn't slept for something like 80 hours, and that fearful ordeal with the drug had left me completely exhausted. Tomorrow, we'd have to get serious. Hunter Thompson. I'll meet you in the next one. And don't be late. See you around.
Katie tried, I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piastre I could borrow.